Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls. And I got to tell you guys, I'm kind of sorty here this week. Last week on October 1st, my mother died. And my world's been kind of weird ever since. We buried her on Tuesday, October the 8th. And I've been trying to be back at work on Wednesday the 9th, and today the time of recording on Thursday, October 10th, and it's bizarre and freaky, and I'm here sort of floating around, and I understand each of the stories that we're going to be covering today, but I haven't been looking at the stuff for 3 weeks, because just before my mom died, I had 2 weeks of having COVID. So I want to throw the biggest apologies to the audience. It's been, I've been saying this to all my clients too, and friends and contacts. I've been away from the world for the last 3 weeks, and I feel like I've come back a changed person, sort of, because I don't even know how I've been changed, but we're all changed from this sort of stuff. It's pretty heavy. And on with the show. I really hope it's a good one.
Hey, so you're Christine, saying I get to talk a lot?
You get to talk as much as you need, and that's for sure. But before we do anything, we got to thank our sponsors, Audience Key and Wix Studio. Thank you both for your sponsorship. And to both of you, hey, sorry, it's been a really, really weird 3 weeks. Something else we really need to touch on is Hurricane Milton and the effect it's had on a significant part of our listening audience on Florida and, you know, just on people in general. As of the time of this recording, we understand there's at least five persons dead, possibly more. And the level of destruction isn't entirely known yet, but it appears Florida got hit so badly and so hard, multiple tornadoes and flooding and a tremendous storm, but it wasn't the worst that could have happened.
No, unfortunately, bobbled just at the end, as one of the weathercasters from in Florida that was predicting. So it did 20 miles in a different direction, and that saved Tampa area from the 15-foot storm surge. So there's a lot of destruction today. There's hospitals that are not functional. There's water damage and wind damage and injured people. But as you said, fortunately, so far, the death toll seems to be fairly low. Most of the areas seem to have suffered wind damage. And since Hurricane Andrew many years ago, the building codes were changed. And so it looks like from the videos I'm seeing today, most houses are standing. Number of Hurricane Andrew went through is about the same strength. The entire area was flattened. So there will definitely be people that need to rebuild and people that are going to just be traumatized from having to go through this twice in 2 weeks because it hit the same areas. But it does look like definitely the worst was spared, although it's not the least either. So there is significant damage and destruction, and people won't get this until probably Monday, but you might want to stay away from your going back to your home for a week or so, because they don't even have power for 3.4 million people at this time.
Okay, so folks, I guess you know the drill. There's donations that are being taken. There's benefit concerts that are being formed. And there's, you know, a myriad of ways you can help out. And if you find a way to help out, not only should you do it, get your friends to do it as well.
Yeah, the Red Cross is posting ways you can help with the Red Cross to do, you know, provide immediate relief. And then they also list other organizations. So if you have the Red Cross website, at least you'll know the organizations that you're donating to are legitimate and good charities. So,
okay. Biggest love to everybody in Florida and in the southeastern United States. in the Caribbean and Mexico, anywhere that was, and places that were other places affected by Milton. Again, hope everybody is safe and whole. Neat thing about autumn, it's conference season. There's three major search conferences all happening in quick succession of each other. Right now, State of Search is happening in Texas. PubCon's happening next Thursday in Las Vegas.
Tuesday through Thursday.
Tuesday, I'm sorry, Tuesday through Thursday in Vegas. And Brighton SEO is coming back to San Diego. Brighton SEO USA is coming back to San Diego in early November, right?
I knew I was going to pull this up before the show started and I forgot. It's the, let's see, the 19th and the 20th
Of October?
of November.
Of November, I thought so. Right on.
Yes, and we're going to have Kelvin back on the show soon now that they finished Brighton, UK this past week. He's going to come back on and tell everybody about it. So keep an eye out for that show if you want to know more about it. It's an excellent conference.
Indeed, it's a and it's the conferences and the social events are the huge things about these conferences. Afraid I won't be at either one of the again either one of them again this year, but next year absolutely 100% coming back into the public realm.
I will be at PubCon hanging out. I live here locally in Vegas, so, and then I will be attending Brighton, San Diego. So if anyone's coming, please, say hello.
Okay, Java or Google has put out a warning on JavaScript generated product markup. You should be doing product markup. You should be using
Schema tagging
schema tagging and
and product
marking.
markup. Yeah, product markup.
This is the way to not only get more enhanced search listings, getting into product snippets, feed information to Merchant Center. It's also one of the paths into AI overviews and getting mentions in the carousels of sites mentioned in AI overviews. What's the update? What's Google's warning?
So basically, I don't know how many following listeners know this. Pardon my not being able to speak. So Google has two stages of crawling. One is the HTML phase, and one is the render phase, which is when JavaScript is crawled and ingested. And so, if you have your product stuff on the JavaScript side, it is a chance that your JavaScript won't be fast enough to get pulled in. So they want to make sure that your stuff gets pulled in. So you want to put it in the raw HTML. And there's other tags that we do this with too, like canonicals always should be in the raw HTML. Titles and meta should be in the raw HTML. And that just means the HTML that's served as soon as the server, as soon as the crawler comes through. And then the rendered HTML is when the JavaScript is triggered. So the delay could cause you a problem in getting it actually ingested.
Okay, so there's a bunch of listeners out there who are like running headless sites or running like Shopify setups or BigCommerce or whatever, and none of the pages actually exist. There's how do you set up a HTML version of something that doesn't actually exist until called? You get a separate render server. There's a trick around that, and it saves. I mean, it does all the heavy lifting for your headless site. It's the muscles of the headless site is the render server.
Yes, but it may not be fast enough for Google to ingest your JavaScript markup. So you
Oh,
want to make sure
indeed,
it's in
indeed.
the
That's why
raw.
you use. That's why you have the. You serve the HTML version of the site on the render server. I'm sorry, on the yeah, the HTML render server and the bulk of your site, your JavaScript-driven site, just by request to live users.
So this has been a big week of crazy news.
Yeah, this is the WordPress section, is it?
Yes, WordPress. Oh, WordPress, WordPress.
Okay, so sometime about what was it? Take 2 weeks ago that this started?
Well, it started when Matt, I don't know if I know Mullenweg,
Matt Mullenweg.
Mullenweg at a conference gave a whole diatribe against WP Engine as being a cancer to WordPress. And then he criticized the host, WP Engine host, for disabling the ability for users to see and track the revision history for every post. I use WP Engine. You don't need to do that because they have a revision history
Anyway,
in
that was his
WP
thing.
Engine. Yeah, that was his thing. So that was his first thing. And the thing has changed multiple times since the first thing, but that was the first thing. And
But just was it last week or 2 weeks ago, he dropped the boom.
yes, someone like WP Engine has host to is able to pull in the API for the WP org basically core to run WordPress sites for free, and the API is just pulled in and they use it. And Matt disabled that for WP Engine, and so WP Engine users wouldn't get notifications of a need to update something or be able to update it directly from the auto update feature. You would have to actually go to the site where the package is held. So if it's your extend, if it's your plugin, you have to go to the plugin site, download it, and upload it. That's the old way you had to do it anyways, but a lot of people who are new to WordPress, and there's a lot of them because they now, are powering 40% of websites, who wouldn't know how to do that. So WP Engine has been coming up with a workarounds. Matt has blocked all the workarounds until the last one. Now WP Engine thinks they have it fixed, and so you should be able to work with WP Engine as you normally have.
Okay, so again, sometime and again, I've had a horrible last couple of weeks, so I'm really unclear on dates
Oh,
and
I can give you
times.
all the details, don't worry.
So again, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, Matt Mullewick, locks WP Engine out of the core WordPress, so WP Engine websites aren't automatically updating with the latest version of WordPress,
Or
and it's
the
very
plugin.
difficult to do the one button update of themes or of various plugins that you have because WordPress has cut that flow off too. Manual workarounds exist, but to cut off WP Engine over the use, and this is what it's all about. Mullewig is not only the founder of WordPress and the head of the WordPress.org board of directors, the nonprofit arm of WordPress. He's also the CEO of Atomic, the or Automatic, sorry, the commercial
WordPress
side of
commercial,
WordPress,
commercial side.
the folks who use WordPress to make money to keep WordPress going. Recently, all of the authority, I guess, that was in WordPress.org, rights over copyright, rights over the actual core code of itself, that sort of stuff, was moved from WordPress.org to Automatic, the corporate arm
Was
of
I don't
the.
remember when exactly it was. It wasn't recently, but it wasn't too long ago either. But he wrote a blog post about it. He wanted to see, he didn't think that the nonprofit should be enforcing things like trademark or getting funding. So he formed Automatic to do those features. So just a
Shortly
little
after, he
background.
clamped down on WP Engine.
Yeah, he banned them from also from the community. Unless they agreed to pay tens of millions of dollars to Automatic for a purported trademark license that WPE doesn't even need. Basically, this is from 9 to 5 Mac, a reputable source on this kind of thing. So he gave them less than 48 hours to either agree to pay them off or face consequences of being banned and publicly smeared. We also know that Matt had threatened someone who applied from his company to WP Engine to smear them too at this time. Defendants sent ominous messages and photos designed to intimidate WP into making an extortionate payout. This again is from 9 to 5 Mac. So he did carry out his threats and he did do that. Now, a couple of things about the history. Automatic actually invested into WP Engine in 2010 because they didn't want to deal with all the hosting issues of hosting WordPress. So they invested in WP Engine to take them and a couple other companies to take the load off of WordPress. WordPress.com did launch a year later, the WordPress hosting under Automatic. That's like the financial arm, the commercial arm. So since all this happened, Matt has lost 159 users, I mean users, sorry, employees. He offered them $30,000 or 6 months salary to leave if they didn't like the way he was handling things. So 159 left, took the money and headed out. WP Engine has launched a lawsuit against Automatic and Matt specifically for extortion, attempted extortion. Matt Mullenweg, an automatic self-proclaimed scorched earth campaign against WP Engine has harmed not just our company, but the entire WordPress ecosystem. The symbiotic relationship between WordPress, its community, and the business that invests millions to support WordPress users and advance the ecosystem is based on the trust and the promises of openness and freedom. Matt Mullenweg's conduct over the last 10 days has exposed significant conflicts of interest and governance issues that, if left unchecked, threaten to destroy their trust. WP Engine has no choice but to pursue these claims to protect its people, agency partners, customers, and the broader WordPress community. And then yesterday morning, up popped a login where you had to state that you had no affiliation with WP Engine. It's just getting ugly and messy. Matt has little support that I've seen socially online.
So last little bit of like weird history for listeners who may or may not be aware of this. WordPress is built on a philosophy called open source. Open source is all about we will make something really cool, put it up on the internet for everybody to use and copy, and anyone can use it and copy it on the provision that any changes they make, they also make available to the community. So people are just constantly improving upon GitHub is an example of the same sort of open source mentality where people just build upon successes of other people's stuff. What Matt's doing has sort of put a pin in the balloon of the open source community. Why contribute huge resources to a project around WordPress if the commercial arm of WordPress might suddenly pull the plug or the rug out from under all the work that you've done for whatever reason they deem reasonable? Like,
Yeah,
why would people do this?
well, in addition to that, now in the WordPress Slack for people who regularly contribute to the core of WordPress, which is what open source is, people contributing their time and energy to the core of the product, is now blocking people in Slack for answering or asking questions. Like yesterday, the login popped up and it said, I'm not affiliated with WP Engine. That has a lot of implications. Like if I use a plugin that they support, if I, if I have anything and Matt wouldn't answer, but Matt just started blocking people. So, off the server. So, as far as some of the notable names, we have Yono Anderson for from the SEO community. He worked at Yoast for many years. He has been blocked in the WordPress Slack. These are people who contribute. Also, one of the guys who created the REST API for WordPress has been blocked in the Slack.
So Matt is
So,
clamping down on the dissenters and threatening people who may pose dissent. It's a bizarre thing to watch happen in live time, especially to a piece of software that I think a huge number of people, myself, you, and a number of people out there feel some sense of allegiance or some sense of even ownership in, given that we've used it so damn many times. It's so integral. Like 45%, 40%, and something like that of websites out there are still run on the WordPress platform.
and he's also blocking like one of this plugins is was made by WP Engine called Advanced Custom Fields, and that one has been blocked from any security updates,
I
even though
bet you
there's
that's a
this.
really useful one too. Just
That's
from the
used.
sounds of it, it's very, I don't know exactly what it does, but it sounds very useful.
It's used by developers to create like their own custom versions of the WordPress, which is what they're supposed to be able to do. Also, a couple of key points. WP Engine, Matt said, didn't contribute to the core at all, but they actually, someone pulled the direct data from WordPress.org. They did 45 hours commitment a week. The highest after that is 204. So Matt will say, well, at Automatic, we do like 3,500 hours. Well, yeah, because you're WordPress. Of course you do.
Indeed.
But
We
the
put a full
lowest,
month's work in every month.
exactly. But the next set of hours after that, when they pulled it a week or two ago, was 204. The WP Engine
Well,
did commit 45, and they're not required to, but also Matt rejected everything they tried to commit for 2 years.
okay.
So when he tried to commit to they tried to commit to the core, they weren't allowed to. So when he says they didn't commit at all, he's not being wholly truthful because he didn't allow them to commit to the core. They've also sponsored WordCamps, sponsorships, devs for the core, and in an interview with Theo, podcaster had a long hour and a half, I think it was, interview with Matt. Matt says he doesn't count any of that. He also doesn't count, I know, how much WP Engine brought people to WordPress. since they made it a lot easier to use WordPress. And
Indeed, I mean
also,
that's
again,
this is astounding hearing him say this.
they invested in WP Engine to be the WordPress host. So when they say that the WP host, they're not saying we're the only one, but that's what they were invested in to do. So
No,
it
and
was,
for the record, I'm with a
yeah.
different hosting company. I've never I did business with WP Engine a long time ago when I was working with a different firm. I use a different hosting company, not because I have a problem with WP Engine. I don't. And the hosting company I have has a managed WordPress hosting option, which is very useful to me. And that's a whole bunch of WordPressy tools. And they even use the WP acronym periodically in their text. I do too. It's just easier that way. Part of Mullenweg's complaint is actually the trademark WP in relation to WordPress. He says people are confusing WordPress with WP Engine. But the thing that's, again, I just have to keep going back to that's so astounding is WP Engine didn't break any rules as written in
No.
the agreement to build on the WordPress platform or to be part of the WordPress community. In fact, commercial use of was encouraged because they wanted to build WordPress out.
Yeah, exactly. And
It's
also,
the more to what I'm trying to say is there's something happening
yes.
that we're not aware of. There's something going on just slightly beneath the surface, and it seems to be the complete decapitation of WP Engine.
Yeah, that and or the destruction of WordPress.
Well, that's the ultimate. That's what's going to happen ultimately. I
Yeah.
mean, this why develop for somebody who might punch you in the nose for doing it? Why?
Exactly.
Why
And
would you do that?
as
It's insane.
one of the people locked out of the Slack, Morten Rand Hendrickson on Twitter, said that this is a .org. If you self-host WordPress, your site depends on core plugin and theme updates. This is locking out the people who built them.
Yeah,
So they're
like.
being kicked off the official Slack, which means they can't contribute or they can't, get information from other people. So they're core people. Like if you're kicking off the guy who built the REST API for WP.org, like that's like core, as core as you get, right? That's how people interact with the core. And he's been blocked, and Jonah's been blocked, and there's a whole lot of people been blocked. Even Joost from Yoast was challenged yesterday by
Oh, he
Matt
threatened
on,
Yoast. He had that
yeah.
whole "you say anything and I'll make your life miserable"
Yes,
vibe going.
and then Matt will say this is because he doesn't want private equity. It's his battle against private equity, except that Matt sold his interest in WP Engine to the private equity firm that he's complaining about in 2018. So there's all sorts of shenanigans. Also, he changed the terms of service for the trademark on September 25th and 26th on the website to make it look like WP Engine was not in compliance. There's a really good interview with Theo with Matt where Theo does hold him to task on most things. And that's where I learned things like he's not counting anything they contribute unless it's hours to the core. And those hours, he rejects everything they submit. So I don't, what do you want them to do? So anyway, it's just a very weird thing. And I think the thing what you're saying about the open source community is really concerned about is one guy has been able to cause this much difficulty. And yes, he did invent it, but usually when something gets this big, there's other people involved that do oversight and, get rid of
He
people, but
invented
that's not.
WordPress. He did not invent open source. Open
No,
source
that's not,
is a
no.
whole philosophy, and he built WordPress on that philosophy, and now he's kicking the legs out of from under the ladder that supports that philosophy.
Yeah,
That's what I find so offensive.
one of the guys that got banned from WordPress.org, Kostev on Twitter, he asked, is the value that checkbox where you say you have affiliation with WP Engine, is the value stored as a contributor without corporate sponsorship? Am I liable for my clients? And to be honest, he found it intimidating. That's literally what he said. There's more there, but it's basically what he said. He was blocked from this
There's a
whole
whole
exchange
bunch
with him, with Matt.
of anti-trustworthy things going down. This story is going to develop as we go along. If you're
Yeah.
confused, I urge you to take like a box truck full of ketamine and watch the TV show Suits. You'll still be confused afterwards, but you'll have a stupid grin on your face.
And if you still have access to Twitter, just do WordPress Slack blocked And you'll see a lot of these conversations on there. Just search for them.
You could do that
WordPress
too, actually. That's a much better idea than my idea. That's an infinitely better idea than my
Bible.
idea.
There's a lot of screen. That's what it, there's a lot of screenshots of Matt talking, so you'll know Matt did actually say the thing that they said he said. Anyways, it's a very odd situation because really, he's the idea is he can go to court and say, "We invested in you to be WP Engine. My mom didn't know that you weren't WordPress." That's what he says in his posts. And then, so everyone's confused now that you might be WordPress. We didn't care for 12 years. I sold my stake in you. And suddenly I cared. And now I'm blackmailing you into denying you services so that unless you pay me tens of millions of dollars. By the way, there's also a security component in this. I do kind of wonder if at some point the government will get involved because people can't update. They can't do, get security notices that they need to update. WordPress, WP Engine has made a workaround around it, but doesn't mean he's not going to block it again. He's blocked all, every other one. That becomes a security issue. What if it's a hospital site that's on WordPress or, it's something that's crucial.
What if somebody gets hacked? What if somebody gets screwed over? What if somebody gets sued? And what if it gets back to the people who did this initially, Matt and friends? And you probably shouldn't be screwing around like this, given the stakes that are so high. We got to move up. We got like a whole
We
bunch of
do.
stories we
We have
got to
so
go
many
through
stories
still.
today. Oh my gosh, yes, we do.
I even had this great segue about how so much anti-trustworthy stuff is going on because, there's a bunch of anti-trustworthy stuff going on. The DOJ, in fact, says it might break up Google as a result of a antitrust suit, Google being declared a monopoly. And in the major ca antitrust case that most people are aware of, the one around Google's heft in advertising and the Android, its control of the Android environment. Judge Amit Mehta has been looking for, I guess, recommendations and directives from the Department of Justice on what exactly an antitrust remedy against Google might mean. And you know what? They came up with the litany of implications, including the breakup of Google itself.
No, they want to, they're talking about breaking up, breaking away one of the three items, ads from Google, Android from Google, or Play from Google. So,
There's
and they have
also
to
one
have
other
a,
one. There's also Chrome. Google controls the
oh,
reading
that's right. I'm sorry. You're
environment
right.
in which
Chrome.
we all perceive the web.
I did forget that one. So, yeah, so that's, it's pretty serious. And this DOJ is unlike any that I've been around in years, right? Most of the time, monopoly cases just are settled between DOJ and they do some things and things get settled and they go on. So this DOJ is very active in going after monopolistic practices. And a reminder to listeners that monopolies are not illegal on their own, but it's when your practices as a monopoly are there to make sure nobody else can get basically compete with you. And that's when you run into monopolistic issues and this kind of case. So the DOJ is trying to figure out what it needs to do. Just some articles from The Verge headlines. The DOJ will have its proposed plan soon. DOJ wants info on Google's AI strategy to bust up its search monopoly. That's even something that it's looking into. And what Google rivals want after the DOJ's antitrust trial win. So there's a whole bunch of interested parties. We don't know anything yet. They were supposed to have it by in September. Remember, we covered that in August. They didn't
There's
have
no
their
way this is going to
solution.
be, there's no way anyone's coming out with a serious set of recommendations anytime soon. I mean, there's just too, the implications of saying anything or suggesting anything are just too great. And you just mentioned like the serious prize here. I remember back in the early part of the century when Yahoo, Google, and what was then Microsoft Live or Microsoft was were on buying sprees. And it was when Alta Vista went with this like bank vault full of patents. They went to Yahoo. Yahoo suddenly had this like massive bank vault full of patents, and all that competitive information that was suddenly out there pushed search ahead. It actually moved us from old style search engines into the middle years of search. Point being, anything the judge makes Google do will be information for the myriad of competitors that are there in the organic search world and the AI world. And it's going to either propel innovation forward at Google's expense, or provide a laundry list of patents to whomever gets their mitts in there to buy whatever gets severed.
Yeah. Oh, we'll have more to
So they got
report
to be
on it.
careful.
We actually know what they're going to do. So that's what I was even talking about. Maybe we could just have you educate people. So there's a lesser remedy out there. But this judge is not happy with Google. We know from previous testimony. So we'll see. I have a feeling he's not going to be giving him a hand slap. I may not have to give him something like a fatal knife blow or something, but he's definitely not going to just go, oh, that's okay. Let's give you a little slap here in the hand. You just keep going on. He's
I mean, the
definitely.
truth is, at the end of the day, Google's so big and they run and control so many different sets of technologies. It's hard to see what could be done to them without causing a cascade that would take, I have no idea how long to figure out. But everything in the Googleverse is connected somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know how you sever that.
And then also the ramifications for other monopolies in the industry, right? Like they make Google get rid of Play. Well, what about Apple? Apple has monopolistic, I can't say the word today, tendencies with Apple Store, right? So
Well, and this is a problem because, like, much of the web right now is being built in these closed garden environments. You have a closed garden environment. You Spotify, as an example, has like the music industry. And yeah, there's other options out there, but you're not using them, right? The heft that they suddenly get. Anyway, we'll see what happens with this one, but it's out there.
yeah.
Yeah, follow this one really closely, friends, because this again, I remember when that was like that was a big buying spree at the beginning of the turnover of the century, 1999 to 2000, 2001. Everything changed a few years after that when all that information was actually put to work. So, speaking of information you can put to work, if you have a clue how, and if the search engines follow their own directives. John Mueller was speculating on how SEOs actually have a golden opportunity right now with the advent of AI in search and in pretty much everything the clients we every digital thing our clients do these days. SEOs can really help set client and corporate policies around AI, help guide decisions on bots, help explain what new or bot crawler behavior might be like and why. And through exchanging our experiences, knowledge, and building, the SEO Telegraph knowledge base, we might actually become really, really good at understanding what is happening to our client sites, and why, again, as affected by AI. John sees an opportunity here. I'm gonna have to go with it depends.
Yeah, it's like John wrote on LinkedIn in response to someone discussing the just the general AI environment. The robot's text gives you a lot of control over the reasonable crawlers. Uses for unreasonable ones, you might have to dig deeper. Use a CDN hoster that lets you block them by request type. You may even make your robot's text disallow by all by default if you want. I mean, did he? This is Barry. Did he not say full control, but a lot of control? I don't know. Because here's the thing. Okay, so oh, he did say here was his hopeful piece. This intersection of AI and SEO puts all you, in quote, in parentheses, technical SEOs into a great place to help shape policies and decisions for and with your clients about AI. You know how these control mechanisms work. You can choose them and you can help folks decide what makes sense for them. But the problem is, like with Google, I cannot block Google's AI crawler without blocking Google itself, which means I wouldn't be in Google. So that's not really an option. And then they found out with Condé Nast that several of the other AI companies were massively hitting them with robots, right? But the RT didn't matter because they were changing the robots on a daily basis and they weren't known. So you can't block what you don't know. And they weren't the main one that they told people. So it didn't matter if you blocked the main one because they're still coming after you. So the
And
RT is very
moreover, there was
limited in its ability to help you.
one more point to make. You can block whatever you want in robots text. It's just, I mean, whatever just block elephants if you want to. It doesn't matter if the elephants don't care. Robots text
Yes.
doesn't stop people. It's just a directive, and it's a directive
Yeah.
that should be listened to. Google says if you put in your robots text, we'll pay attention to it. But as Christine said, if you put it in your robots text, you're doing it like universal site wide. So you're just blocking all of your site from Google.
Yeah. Google doesn't allow you
But
to
they will
block
listen.
Firefox
They
crawler.
will respect that and leave you the heck alone. They didn't want you part of their
Ooh.
index anyway.
But then we find out the companies that should respect the RT create other bots that don't respect the RT because they're not technically blocked and they change them every day. So it doesn't matter that you put it in the RT.
At this
So
point,
Condé Nast is getting hit.
I don't know of any AI bot that respects a page level robots text directive. I don't believe they do. So yeah, I think your best bet if you want to manipulate or block them is do it at a content delivery network, and you'll probably be blocking by IP, but then those IP changes, they'll grow,
Yeah,
they'll come out
exactly.
from new
That's what they
ones.
did. Condé Nast was getting hit so hard they had to actually do a cease and desist because it was like it was hurting their ability to serve their own content. So, I appreciate John's optimism. And yes, we can help shape policy, but not by the RT. The RT is
Well,
a fairly weak tool for this situation.
here are things that you can do still. You can do whatever you can to inform your client about when bots show up at the site, or when at least when they crawl the site. SEMrush says that they are tracking incidents appearances in AI overviews. I'm honestly
So is
not sure.
Ahrefs.
Sorry?
Ahrefs announced that today as well.
Okay, now I know people who work at SEMrush and at Ahrefs, and I really hope they're right. I'm not entirely positive how they're positive, but I'd love to, I really want to see these outputs against my client experiences. I got an e-com client, so and we're not showing up in AI in e-com so much. Not yet, anyway. There you go. I think it's important though, inform your clients everything you possibly can, and we got to inform each other the stuff we learn as we go along.
And the best way to get into the AI overviews is have a strong site and a strongly SEO'd site, because Google is now using sites in the top 10 and 20 primarily for the AI overviews. So your SEO value actually helps you get into the AI overviews if that's what you're looking to do.
Indeed.
So.
Incidentally, okay, one last thing on this dead horse. I just want to kick this one last thing. I want Google to look at Bing and look at what they're doing to juxtapose an organic result set, paid advertisements, and a fairly robust and helpful AI generated set of results. I had a client meeting yesterday with one of my larger clients. This is the unending product pages website. And we were talking about the difference between AI overviews and the environment that they're building over at Bing. And he likes being in that environment at Bing. He thinks it helps consumers make choices. Google, he's totally unimpressed with. He's really unhappy with what he's seeing there. So
Yeah, it
that's
just
a
feels like
note.
a
That's an
cluttered mess.
important note to Google. This guy spends money with you. For real.
Well, yeah, Google is just becoming a cluttered mess, really, in my opinion. So, moving on to some news outside of Google. We found out this week that another report from people who know why Sam Altman was fired and then rehired, the Nobel Prize winner and former OpenAI chief scientist, you're better with these names than I am. It's Ilya Sutskever? Probably just butchered that.
Ilya Sutskeva.
Thank you. That the reason was he was fired because he was the one who fired him is much less concerned with it because Sam Altman is not concerned with AI safety. He's mostly concerned with profits. He still thinks super intelligence might be on the horizon, and we have 4 years to before human extinction. Let's not get into that today. Too much going on in the world. But the point is that he fired Altman at the time. He was the one who made the choice because he thought he was being very unsafe, and because he was way more concerned with the commerciality of it than making sure that they were a safe product. So, still important information. Others have come out and said the same, but since this is the guy who actually fired him and telling him why he fired him, it seems like that's probably a pretty good source to go with.
While we're near the topic field, quick congratulations to Professors John Hopfield and Geoffrey Hinton, who won the 2024 Nobel Prize in physics. These two are the actual godfathers of AI. Their research led to large language models and also led to a lot of the stuff that Google was doing with BART. Geoffrey Hinton is from University of Toronto. My hometown. So yay. Congratulations to them.
Yes.
Okay. Is OpenAI blocks 20 malicious campaigns using AI for cybercrime and disinformation? Well, that
It
was
did
nice of
something
them.
good. We got a report on
That's
it,
actually good of them. I mean, we've seen the effects of disinformation really up close and personally in the idiotic disinformation campaign around Hurricane Milton relief and Hurricane Helene relief. And so to see OpenAI and any company platform take a stand against disinformation, what have these guys done and how do they think they're actually doing it?
how they're actually doing, they're blocking them.
Yeah, what is it? Well, first off, when OpenAI says they've blocked 20 global malicious campaigns, what have they actually done?
According to Hacker News, the activity encompassed debugging malware, writing articles for websites, generating biographies for social media accounts, creating AI-generated profiles or fake accounts on X. Threat actors continue to evolve and experiment with our models, but we have not seen evidence of this leading to meaningful breakthroughs in their ability to create substantially new malware or build viral audiences, they said, but they are going to stop them. Two of the cyber operations OpenAI highlighted were Sweet Spectre, a suspected Chinese-based adversary that leveraged OpenAI's services for LLM-informed reconnaissance, vulnerability research, scripting support, anomaly detection, basically looking for vulnerabilities in code that they could used to attack sites or people with spear phishing attempts, which just means like you get an email, it looks real, it's not real, and you click on it and you wind up attacked. And then Cyber Avengers, a group affiliated with the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, used to conduct research into programmable logic controllers, is way above most people's knowledge graph here, so I'm not going to get into all that. And Storm 0817, an Iranian threat actor, used models to debug Android malware capable of harvesting sensitive information off our phones and Instagram profiles.
Okay.
So that's the stuff that they're blocking.
What frightens me is not I don't know this is probably you know what this is probably a false fright given how LLMs work, filling in the blank based on the most probable characters that should come after the previous ones. But what if in the great knowledge bank of knowledge banks, some really malicious crap has been left sitting around? We
Oh, yeah.
have OpenAI writing software now. What if? Which weirds me out.
And by the
Then
way,
again,
something.
that could happen in any cut and paste environment too.
So, new studies also came out that all these large language models are not good at writing code and the complex, when it gets to
Well, you
complexity.
know what? There's a whole bunch of
So,
people who aren't good at writing code, and they're
no,
doing it
no,
too.
no. So, when it gets to the complex code, it is not good at writing it. So the disclaimer goes out there every time we come across this stuff. Don't write code with it if you don't know how to write code, because you won't
And
know
if
that
you
it's writing
do,
something that
weird
has a
stuff can be
vulnerability.
okay.
Yeah,
Um,
yeah.
here's one that's like straight out of the Elon Musk Business Model 101, Book 101. So Musk used to pay people who were heavy content contributors based on the number of ads that appeared around their contributions. From a capitalism point of view, that actually kind of makes sense, you know. They provided real estate, put a billboard on the real estate, you pay them their rent. That makes sense. And you're probably making money off of every transaction as a platform. But Musk has changed that. And now he's not going to pay any content creators based on the number of ads that appear around their content. He's going to pay them on the engagement and how much they engage with other content creators. So if you can get cat turd going, you're going to make some money. That's
Just
I
pay me
think
and you
that's what
do
he's
that.
saying here. Okay, so this is a weird one. This like one seems straight out of the Elon Musk's much abridged and somewhat faulty book on capitalism. He's changed the way he is sharing monies with creators, the revenue creating sharing program. Previously, it was based on how many ads appeared around any piece of content you might put up, which kind of makes sense.
And the replies and the
Oh,
replies and the
and the
replies.
replies, yeah, but again, kind of makes sense. You make the real estate, they put a billboard on it, and they pay you your rent for the real estate. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, totally.
And I bet you the platform is making money on every transaction. So that's smart capitalism. Well, he's changing. And now creators are going to get paid based on the engagement they have with other blue check mark creators, and again, the engagement they have with their followings.
So
So,
likes, clicks, and comments.
okay, yeah. So, what happens if you get like someone like Cat Turd really excised and they go nuts on you, and you go nuts on them right on back, and you have this whole nut fest going on all day, which is kind of what Twitter feels like or X feels like these days—a big nut fest. And do you make a whole bunch of cash that way?
Know, it sounds so easily gamed. I don't know what he's thinking. It's like offline, like, hey guys, we all have counts, right? Okay, we're gonna engage each other to death all day today. How much money do we make? Like, I don't know, it's kind of silly. He has no
Okay,
control.
so not so gentle people. Start your engines. Go. The
Just
more
has to be someone,
outrageous, the better.
yeah, just has to
The
be someone
worse, maybe.
engaging with you that has a blue check. So
Oh,
there's
that's right. Make sure they're blue checks. Otherwise, you're wasting your time.
Yes, exactly. That's a blue check. But that's just kind of bizarre to me. Like, hey guys, let me give you a perfectly gameable system that you can make lots of money off of from me. So if you want Musk to pay you a lot of money, I don't know if you actually make a lot of money doing this, but I assume you make some given the amount of comments that are given or posts that are made by some people. So, but anyway, yeah, do it and team up with your friends and help each other get paid. So, because that's what's going to happen.
Okay, so maybe he's able to do this from other schemes that he has going. For instance, Musk has been cool enough, and the Starlink has been wonderful enough to give persons who've been cut off by Hurricane Helene 30 free days worth of satellite-based Starlink internet service access. Problem is, if you want this access, you have to spend $400 for custom hardware and technology to be able to communicate with a Starlink satellite. So free quickly becomes $400, which then quickly becomes, I'm not sure what he charges for a month per
No, I'm not sure
for
either.
access to Starlink, but quickly
Yeah.
becomes a monthly subscription fee. So, there are ways to make back. You don't make it back on one side, you make it back on the other.
Well, the other thing too, though, is he's been disingenuous on his Twitter account, where he wrote
No.
that. Yeah, right. I'm so surprised. Shocked I am. Musk wrote on X that this is from New York Post. Musk wrote on X that all Starlink terminals would work automatically without the need for payment in the areas affected by Hurricane Helene, except when they ran ex the register ran experiments on it. Anyone who tried to sign up had to give them $400 to get the and plus shipping and handling and taxes. So not free. And if you just got every if you're in those areas where the river rose so high, everything is just gone. Towns are gone. Houses are gone. Everything's gone. Probably don't have $400 right now to give Starlink. So. Unfortunately, people were probably given like a bit of hope, and there's really not a whole lot there. So,
Okay.
it's 120 a month residential subscription after 30 days. I
There
don't
you
even pay that for my cable.
So, it's funny, we were just talking about how my one of my clients and I were talking about the difference between the Google environment, AI overview environment, and the Bing Copilot environment. And this next story comes up in the grid is Bing generative search experience is rolling out. So Bing is expanding its generative search experience. It's going to include more information, more sets of information queries. So I guess it's going to expand the number of types of query that AI answers will come, or generative search will come up for. It's updating deep search. It's faster. It's powered by GPT 4o and their own in-house models. Well, good on them. They're going to be noting a whole answer summary, a document index, which is a cool thing, source citations, very cool thing, related sections, and then your traditional search results. So sort of the page is going to be constructed. So is this the end of the split? Have you been able to recreate this from your end, Christine? Is this the end of the split screen?
No, the split screen will still be there. I'm looking at the screenshot right now. I have seen this generative AI brought. I gotta say, I said this before. Bing is doing much better overall, I think, than Google at this point. But Bing has to learn to edit. Like when you go to art school, they say the person you know have to know is how to edit your work. Like you don't need to put everything in there that you think you do. That's how you do good UIX, right? So now they just got so much stuff in there. Like, guys, come on, you gotta start pulling back. You don't need everything in this page that you
Yeah,
have.
do you remember when every search platform was becoming an information portal for those
Yes,
couple
that's.
years there?
You remember how Google won the search engine race against Yahoo because they weren't a portal and really simplified? And then, like, I don't know, like got lots of users. So I think Bing is better overall than Google in how they present things. I just think there's just too much, like the left sticky nav is kind of intrusive, and there's just so many items on the page now. So just think that they should probably edit a little bit, but still, I think it's a better page layout than Google, and I like the fact that it doesn't change based on what Google thinks I want it to be, which is one of our next stories.
Well, actually, this is something we'll come to that in a few moments. I want to get through a couple stories pretty
Sure,
quickly. This
sure.
is a karma gets you story.
Yeah.
For the longest time, everyone's known if you have enough money, you can get something with a whole list of like do follow links in Forbes. And Forbes had gravitas because Forbes was one of the big three business magazines. I mean, if you're reading Fortune, you're reading Forbes, or you're reading The Economist, hopefully The Economist. But again, it had gravitas. But Forbes Online has been kind of like the parasite SEO heaven. And I guess it's got kind of slapped around with a manual action for the during the spam update, the most recent spam update. I'm sorry, site reputation abuse, not spam.
No, actually, no, there's no update. This
SRA.
was a manual. This was a manual action.
Yeah, they got
No,
slapped
no
around.
update occurred. Yeah, but there wasn't an update. Like other sites didn't get hit at the same time. Just Forbes. But Forbes is kind of silly because like Forbes has an SEO ad out there. I mean, like a job ad for everything that it tries to sell on the site. It's like we have a fi SEO for financial products. We have an SEO for cannabis. Why is Forbes selling CBD gummies? Who knows? But Forbes had a marketplace. Who's not Forbes, who owns that section of Forbes, thought it was a good idea. And finally, after many people complained, Google did finally hit them with a manual action. And good luck getting those pages back because you're being hit for actually being what they call using site reputation abuse. And that was, what Google did right before that? They changed the wording of their spam policies to make sure that it fell inside those spam policies. It was very clear why they were being hit.
Okay, next one. This is the story that Christine just mentioned. Google's testing AI organized search results. So Google's going to reorganize your search results based on you. It's trying to. It's going to try to do this, whether it actually pulls it off or not. This is a Google initiative. You know, I'm giving it a 75% chance to tell you the truth. But Christine, what are they doing here?
So they're going to give you a page. Now they're only starting with recipes, I believe, to start this off with. But they're going to give you a page that is organized for you based on what they think you want seen on the page, which just, I don't know, that does
So
not
you're going to
intrigue
see
me.
10 blue links and only 10 blue links. Is that right?
Yeah, probably no. No, they're going to do that. But basically, it's going to organize, like add articles, videos, forms, whatever. But it's they're going to arrange it for you. And I'm like, I don't want you to arrange it for me. Please just give me a search engine with a search page. So we don't know a lot about it yet. It's not out in the wild yet, but basically it's basically focused on recipes and stuff. But I don't know. I think Google personally, in my opinion, is just kind of a cluttered mess. And half of what's on the page, I don't want to interact with, I don't need, I don't care about. And I have to scroll past it just to get to information that's helpful. So, but it's going to be listed with a little thing at the top that says organized with AI. And you know what? The one thing I say is going to be really difficult about this. If I say, hey, Jim, I just saw this thing, I search for it, just look there in the whatever box. It's right there, first one. It may not be anymore because it's going to try to personalize it, some of it. I don't think all of it, but
I live in
part
a
of it for
totally
you.
different, but again, Christian, I live in a totally different country than you. I get really different search results to begin with. I get ones that are, well, Canadian
Right.
centric rather than American centric.
Well, of
Also,
course,
you live
yeah.
in Las Vegas, and Las Vegas is a mecca for, many, many large businesses register in Nevada, universities, and it's conferences, whatever. I'm in Toronto, a massive megalopolis. We totally get different search results, totally different pizza companies,
No,
for instance.
we get different results. We don't get different pages. If you
So
say,
I
Christine,
think
can you
people will
check this
have to
URL for
refine
me?
what they're looking. What I'm getting at is to share like that, like we used to treat Google like a filing cabinet. People are gonna have to really refine their searches. Thing is, the more you refine, the more personalized you're gonna get, right?
And the less I want it, Google doesn't generally is really bad at the personalized stuff. And I have personalization off, so I don't even know how I get a personalized result. But there, this is what they said. This week we're rolling out search results pages organized with AI in the US, beginning with recipes and meals, inspiration on mobile. You now see a full page experience with relevant results organized just for you. Of course, you get stuff in Canada that's Canadian, but if you and Rob Woods, another SEO in Canada, were to talk, you probably get similar results. You often ask me to check a result for you, and I get it in the same position. I get basically the same layout. I just get different actual answers because I'm in the US. But we're talking about different page layouts. Different items are going to be there. So you may have videos and I may have articles. You may have forums. I may have Reddits. Like the page will be completely different. And I don't want, actually don't want Google doing this for me because Google's not very good at it in the first place. I don't want anyone doing this for me. I just want information that I can go to and figure out myself what I need. And this all is trying to feed it to me just makes me want to use Google less and less. And I'm probably the odd one out here, but I don't appreciate it. I don't like it. It's not usually helpful or useful. I'm just trying to find the information and the links. The template links for me are still the best way 90% of the time, unless it's like news, to find information.
Yeah, well, sadly, I don't think you're going to be there. I know I'm not going to be there. The great Barry Schwartz himself is not going to be there, but Google is hosting a creator summit at the Googleplex later this month, and perhaps just maybe you know somebody out there that could, I don't know, take Danny and put his arm up behind his back and say, "Hey, Danny, we don't want this to happen in search anymore. We're making it." Okay, so don't do that, by the way. Danny's a wonderful guy. Pass him a drink, please. Don't touch his arm. Google's hosting a creator summit at the Googleplex later this month. A number of content creators, blog publishers, podcasters, techie people higher than us are going to be going to talk to Google about what they want to see in search results and how they want Google to think about them being useful. What do you think?
Yeah.
Is there a chance that change comes from this sort of stuff?
Well, since this isn't their first one, and the Twitter response I saw after the last ones are, yeah, we've talked, they didn't listen, nothing changed. Basically, the people they're reaching out to are people who lost their sites, small publishers, solo entrepreneurs, people that just write about what they love in the helpful content update of September last year. And so these little events are supposed to somehow help that. But Google doesn't offer them any way or any hope that it's going to recover. And when they had this last event, they were expecting to see something on this latest update. That's what they were told would happen, and it didn't. Very few sites from the helpful content update of September last year recovered, and the ones that did, we don't know if they were truly helpful content. That could have been the core updates on each side of the HCU. So one of the people that are going to the summit, I'm not going to say who because I'd like to get some information, is one of the people that was hit, and I've worked with them pro bono to give them some information about how they could possibly recover. They've recovered all their core update issues, all that traffic's come back, but the HCU has not. So I still think the HCU is broken, and I think there's one really easy way you can tell that it's broken, and that is when it supposedly moved from a site-wide classifier to a page-level classifier. Nobody got any recovery, but in the site-wide classifier, all your pages are down. At the page level, only some of your pages are down. So somebody should have seen, or large numbers of people should have seen, at least some recovery, and they should some should have seen massive recovery, right? Because they might have 10 or 20% of their pages were bad, according to Google. But nobody has ever seen anything. So it doesn't sound like they've even moved it, let alone removed it from pages. Because otherwise, there's no way you wouldn't have increases for sites when it went site-wide to page level. It's not a possibility.
And
So
even a slightly harder way to see this is to go to this event and grab some random Googleite and put his arm behind his back and force him into the Googleplex to actually show you on their computer. But that's probably not going to happen, and probably shouldn't.
no, but the thing is
Terrible
that
idea, Christine. You shouldn't advocate for
I
that.
will not do that. The thing that's really sad though about this is because Google's not giving information and not admitting, I think they're just not don't want to admit that they have broken machine learning, right? Not good for the company as a corporation. That these people are making up conspiracy theories now, and I don't blame them. Whenever you don't have information, you don't understand something, conspiracy theories rise, right? But there's all these theories, like Google specifically targeted them to make way for like Reddit. Reddit was already out and had was hidden gem algorithm. That's totally different. So I just feel bad that
Google
you.
made way for Reddit so it could train its AI. That's the only reason Google gave a damn about Reddit. Didn't care
Oh,
about Reddit
sure.
for any other reason except for the
No.
content pool.
Of course, but it already had the hidden gem slot. Like it didn't replace these sites. It had a slot called hidden gems that showed up before this happened. So anyway, I'm just saying, I don't blame, I shouldn't say conspiracy theory because I don't mean it as a
This
pejorative. I just
industry,
mean
K, though, I
without
mean, seriously, I've been around since the very
information.
beginning, and this industry is built on conspiracy theories. Google is out to get, in the early days, people wouldn't use Gmail accounts because they figured Google was reading everything and would go after their clients.
Yeah, very true. But the ones that I've looked at, there's very few commonalities. I have one I'm going to test. But basically, I think the machine learning just wasn't trained properly. I mistook these sites for low quality spam sites because they train on sites that have similar like looks and feels and things like that because they all use the same types of templates and hosts and all that. Also, one thing I do want to tell people: Mediavine. People suspected Mediavine was being targeted specifically. Like if you use Mediavine, that's why your site went down. Not the case because I collected 50 sites and only half of them even use ads. But I audited a site last week. And you know what media, you want to take a guess at how much Mediavine scripts weigh?
60 gajillion thousand pounds because they're legacy things that haven't been updated since the Stone
Oh
Age.
yeah, so many 301 redirects. It's a 500 megabyte file. And then some people, a lot of them also use Gromy, which is also a 500 megabyte file. I'm sorry, not megabyte, sorry. Yeah, megabyte, yeah, that's right. So anyway, I
So maybe
know,
that's the reason, eh?
sorry, 500,000, not 500 megabytes. Sorry, I'm tired. 500,000 K, but it's a megabyte between just those two scripts of page load on your site. It's probably making your site load very, very slowly. This one site I checked had a 30-second delay and getting loaded because of render blocking from an ad that was a video. And by the way, I'm just gonna tell people, take those video ads off your site. Nobody
Yeah.
likes them, and they slow your page load. I've been worked with so many publishers. Well, they have 30, 60, 90 second full page loads. You look at your CWVs, it looks fine. You actually look at your full page load. Oh my gosh, the render blocking, the time to interactive, the full page loads are like 20. I had one client with 120 second time to full page load because of one of those video ads.
You can still
Take them
use those
off.
vid okay, you can still use them, but you got to defer their loading or put them in some like X-frame that loads separately from the page itself. Do not have it part of your main page load. And for God's sake, do not have it part of the initial viewport load.
Yes, and if you've been hit by an algorithm update, one of the things, if you're doing affiliates, you're doing a lot of ads, things like that, have someone who knows what they're doing. Look at the weight of those on your page, because 9 times out of 10, these sites that get hit think it's something they did. No, it's the page load and the blocking that these ad companies do, because they have terrible scripts and they don't care.
No,
So
they
just
don't.
like,
Why should they? No, of course they don't care. Besides which,
no.
they hire. Again, this is legacy stuff that is code just built on code, just built on code, just built on code. No one went and cleaned out the cruft that was there like
No,
2 years, 3 years ago.
100%. So if you've been hit by something and you use Mediavine or Gromy, just take those off your site. Their script loads are so heavy that that's going to be probably your problem.
You ever wonder the weight of digital? Like it doesn't weigh anything, of course, but it's got to weigh something. It's just so damn much of it, eh? This next story weirds me out. Just a real quickie. Someone did the math. Posted up on Thomas Heckle does the math. Posts up online, and Barry Schwartz over at Surgeon Roundtable gets a hold of it. And by Thomas's calculation, if ad campaigns are issued, the IDs for ad campaigns are issued in sequential order, Google ads would be created at a rate of 9,000 per second.
Oh my gosh. Oh, they're
Now, that's
straight in the clinic.
possible. I mean, like, it's not like you get 9,000 new advertisers. Sometimes you have like massive brands pumping out like several dozen ads a day, hundreds of ads a day, targeted to different parts of the world, different communities, different persons, whatever, right? Like slightly different language. It's all a different, that's all a unique and separate ad. But 9,000 a second. Oh my goodness. No wonder
Yeah.
they're making him money hand over
Now,
fist.
he did come back later and say maybe he miscalculated. It might be 40 per second, but either way, he doesn't know though for sure. 9,000 per second would be like the upper threshold, and oh my gosh, that'd be insane. Even 40 per second slot. 40 per second sounds really low though. I
If
could
I could
generate
open a
40
search
ads
engine
in 30
and
seconds in a
generate
second.
one new ad per second, I would be wealthy beyond my wildest dreams.
Exactly. That's how they got their money when they started. An infinite money making ability for their ads.
Another way you could make a whole bunch of money is to really pack the advertising into the same space. Next story up on our grid, Google search showing competitors' ads above local reviews. So I got my pizza parlor. I got this really good review. I got local review, but look, and suddenly my competitor's pizza parlor's banner ad is like appearing right above mine. And that bites.
So rude. It's appearing above your reviews too.
That seriously bites. Five
Yeah,
stars for
amazing.
nothing, Google.
Yeah, it's like I've got 5 stars. Go look at my reviews. Oh wait, did you want to go to this other store first? Just bad form, Google. Bad form.
This one's actually kind of cool. Google has changed its advice and clarified support in robots text by saying they don't support some additions people were putting in, often just sort of making up in robots text.
Yes. So if they put it in and they don't like, I used to love the no index and the RT. It was an amazing thing to get around programmers who didn't have time to do the work. But no, that's been gone for a while. But like if you put that in now, they ignore it. So just make sure you check the syntax section and the RT changes just to make sure you're using something that Google actually works with. And if they don't work with it, then just remove it because Google's not looking at it. They're like, oh, that we don't see it. Oh, okay, we're skipping. So it's not helping you. Don't think like, oh yeah, I tested this. This is helping. No, Google's not reading it. They're just not. So where do we want to go next? Oh.
Google's dropped support for the new archive meta tag directive, which you might have put up in the robots text. So you can't put a no archive on your pages at page level anymore.
Well, it doesn't help. I mean, you can, but it won't help you. No
Okay,
cache, no
you can put no
archive.
elephants at page level, and it won't make a difference. I understand
Well,
that.
yeah, this is basically the elephant. Like I put pink elephants on my page there. No, the no archive and no cache don't work anymore because there is no cache. So when you don't have a cache,
There
there's no reason to tell people not to cache it or to archive it. So
from the Ain't No Audience, Ain't No Show division file. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
yeah. So I mean, there's no reason to take them out, but there's no reason to add them to any new pages that you're doing. So they just aren't using it.
Okay, this is gonna hurt. Listicles. Listicles are back. Google is searching test list articles. So, I mean, like what? Like, instead of having to figure out what the subheadings mean, I'm just gonna get the subheadings. Or re
Well,
instead of reading about what the subheadings mean, I'm just gonna get the subheadings themselves.
right now, the way it looks in search is it just says list articles and it gives you the title of the article and the link. No information about the article whatsoever. It seems kind of pointless to put it in there and not have any information about the article other than the headline. But
You know,
or
in my
title.
experience at like Twitter or Facebook, most people, that sounds like how most people experience the web to me. You read the headline, freak out, write 400 word missive about how bad the article was, and be completely wrong with about what that was actually covered.
I feel like it could use a description though. So it's like list articles are an example here, a Barry Schwartz article at SE Roundtable. The best CrossFit shoes of 2024, Gear Junkie. I think it gives you a link to Gear Junkie. Expert tested 8 best CrossFit shoes of 2024, 2024. Garbage gym reviews. They don't actually separate the name of the company from the title, so it kind of reads a little weird. 7 best CrossFit shoes in 2024, run repeat. So basically, that's what they're doing. They're taking the list articles and they're putting them into this box. I don't know why. Like, did they think that users couldn't pull out list articles from the real search results? I don't know. It's like they've taken real search results and they're trying to create a box for everything that could be in a search result on the page so that they can arrange them for you and give you what they want, they think you want, which is not what I want.
People want stuff fast and easy.
That's not
Whether
fast
they
and
want
easy,
it, whether
though.
they want stuff fast and easy from Google, I don't know. But people
Well,
want stuff fast and easy, and it looks like Google's just trying to meet what they think their audience wants.
I disagree. I think that they just don't do proper research anymore. I think they're trying to do things that don't matter to users. But we can disagree. But like, if I'm looking at list articles, why do I need that separated? Now I've got to look at that box and the regular ones and the video one and the carousel one and the when I just have a list of links. And they put some videos in there and they put some other things in there, then I can just scan that page and pick what I want. And they're trying to give everything to you in a box and now they can arrange it on a page. And I just think we can totally disagree, but I just don't think it's helpful. I just want to see a list and pick stuff out of it and not have to go to like 10 boxes on a page to figure out where they put it. But now, in
Yeah.
addition to having the hidden gems, which is the Reddit and the core and all that on the page taking up lots of space, now they're going to have list articles on the page taking up lots of space. It looks like in this one there's what is it, there's 6 of them. So anyway, so we can agree to disagree on the purpose or use, but I just don't think it's a good
Well,
thing.
they want to make more money, and they want to make their audience move faster through their own pages. Okay, Google's went and they updated their web search spam policies.
Yeah, we touched on that briefly earlier. They changed them right before they gave Forbes the devaluation. which is kind of interesting.
It
And now
says so right here in this document, sir, right
yes.
here.
Now, I mind you, by the way, for people who don't know, most people in our industry do know, Forbes was warned ahead of time. Forbes was told there could be manual and
Oh, for
algorithmic
God's sakes,
updates.
Forbes was
Or, yeah,
bragging
of
about the
course.
sins they were committing. They were getting
Yes,
drunk right in the
exactly.
bar right across from Google,
So,
giving Google the finger and mooning them after the fifth
yes,
drink
you
is what they
can't,
were
yeah.
doing.
If you're going to have a tactic, one, as any SEO knows, when Matt used to walk around with his black book that wrote it all down. Don't tell people, don't publish it, and don't brag about it, and then don't put it in Google's face because Google's going to have to act. And in this case, Google decided they had to act because it was so egregious. But anyway, so
Among other things, they've gone after. They've revised their link spam section. They've updated their ideas on machine generated traffic. They've updated their writing on misleading functionality, on scraping content, on republishing content, on coupon examples, on what thin affiliate pages mean. On if you try to circumvent their policies. And the biggest thing that they changed, they made an addition, was of on-site reputation abuse. parasitic SEO, using a Forbes is the example. Using Forbes Gravitas to sell your X-ray vision pills.
Exactly. And if you're gonna do something like this, like they hired an SEO for every section, right? Because I saw the ads all the time. Is you do it with things related to your company. So if Forbes had been selling financial products or business products on these subdomains, or I think they were subdomains, they're a path. There are no subdomains, is it? Then they probably wouldn't, Google probably wouldn't have picked up on it unless you bragged about it, which they did.
They did.
But yeah, but if you didn't brag about it and you're like, hey, we're going to do ads, we're going to do it on this subdomain, and we're going to do business products, we're going to do financial products, we're going to do CEO products. Well, that would have, Google wouldn't have probably picked up on it. Again, if you didn't brag. But when you're doing cannabis gummies, CBD gummies on Forbes, it's just the screaming red flag that we're totally violating the spam policy. I advise everyone go read these spam policies because they've been very active on spam updates. And like no time I've seen in the past, really. Spam used to be a very outlier. Very rarely would get a spam action or a spam devaluation in an update. But they're doing it a lot more, and they just revised all these. So it'd be very advisable for everyone to go read those.
Okay,
So,
I think we got to go through the quick stories, and we're actually quite over time now.
we are, but we did have 2 weeks. And you know what the crazy thing is? I only mostly covered in the grid 1 week. That's
Yeah,
how much happened
I
this
know. I've
week.
been it's being if you step away for a couple of days in this industry, you fall behind and so rapidly. However, we still have time limits, and we
We
are
do.
so going over them.
Okay, so we have one more little story and then I'll run through the quick ones. The Google Shopping Research with AI experimental answer. So Google Shopping is testing a new AI overview answer titled Research with AI Experimental. It seeks to pull together reviews about a specific product based on Google Gemini AI. Google Gemini is just the new name for Google AI. It started as Bard and then, well, AI, was it AI? I don't know anymore. So anyway, so it's not everywhere yet, but they will put in the summarizers of the reviews in search as well. So now let's get through some quick stories. Quick stories are ones we should cover quickly. That's why they're called fast stories. So soon on Google Local Service ads, you will not be able to place an ad except through your Google Business profile. So it re requires a Google Business profile. This by Thursday, November 21st, 2024, your local services ad will need to match a Google Business profile to continue appearing in search results to display your customer reviews. That's a quote from SE Roundtable, Barry Schwartz. Basically, they're going to put a notice on your profile. You'll see it. You also have to make sure your GBP name and address information matches your LSA. If not, it'll be paused. Same goes for unverified or suspended GBPs, Google Business profiles. Let's see if there's anything else here that people need to know. No, there's not. I'd suggest you go read the article good and quick. It's a Google Local Service ads to soon require a Google Business profile on SE Roundtable by Barry Schwartz on October 10th to today.
I don't know how you make this next one not weird. So Google search is testing verified labels for product results. So like you're gonna hover your mouse over a label, and then it might read something like this icon is being showed because Google signal suggests this business is the business it says it is. That's weird. I mean, seriously. So here's Google saying, hey, you know what? These guys are who they say they are. It's cool. Nothing to see here. Move forward. That's why we interjected.
I
Bye.
could say the one reason would be you can use characters from other language to fake a site name. I actually did get dinged once on a Wayfair duplicate site. I'm good at this, right? Pretty good. I usually know when something's fake. I went on a site, it was the exact copy of Wayfair from that day. The entire site was the exact copy. And then you get to the checkout and the checkout was weird. And then I'm like, oh, what's going on here? Had the same name. It said Wayfair. But it didn't really say Wayfair because it used a special character from another language to do the domain. So it looked like Wayfair in my browser, but it actually wasn't Wayfair. And it was a very well done scam because it literally was a complete copy of Wayfair. Every product, every image, every page, everything. And every day it updated So you have the newest products on the homepage.
So if you were searching for this on Google and came across the not quite Wayfarer listing, Google would have given you an indicator that it may not have been what you thought it was.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you don't see the verified, but it's in testing right now, so don't ding a store right now for it. But if it's fully rolled out, Google store ratings are now also available in India, Australia, Canada, and the UK. I know you're so excited, Jim, that you got this. It's just ratings for US merchants highlight the high quality experience other shoppers have had right from search, and now they're bringing it to other countries. So you'll be able to
I
see
gotta
it.
admit, I don't care about this myself, but I did see a bunch of merchants like walking up and down Yonge Street in Toronto, cheering, having cups of coffees, and clapping. So that's, for real.
There was a party today,
No,
right? No.
not that was just a demonstration, actually.
Google can't seemingly, this isn't my guess. Google has been trying to compete with TikTok with short videos. It hasn't been working. So now Google tests what people are saying, short video search results. And that's also an SEO roundtable. And basically, they just have another section of what people are saying, and they're going to be short videos, mostly from things like TikTok. So, and they also have people are saying for websites that aren't videos that you can see in the search result, but they're actually videos when you go to the website. So people are saying, and it'll be short videos because we don't have enough short videos in our life already. So I think Google was a little late to the party on that one.
I'm kind of guessing this next one has a lot to do with making references from AI Overview easier to follow. Google's testing card style knowledge panel desktop design.
Yes, I've gotten it. I hate it. No, I hate it because it takes up so much screen space. I don't need them to take up with it. So I don't know. But yeah, it's just a different formulation of your knowledge graph on the desktop version. So if your page looks suddenly different and a little weird and like the right side is taking up a whole lot of space, you've got that. That's your new result. That's your new page. So
Google's test.
yeah, go
Go
ahead.
for it.
Google is testing most mentioned places. They do this in mobile already. Local retail stores that have the product you're searching. It shows Google local Google business. I always trip over Google business profile listings. It's like a tongue twister. But the photo and review summaries. It's underneath the map and it just says most mentioned places. I don't know. I just feel like they're, like I said, they're just trying to make everything into a category now, but okay.
Lastly, if you're
And
doing your keyword planning, Google's added the negative keyword tab in Keyword Planner.
which actually is a really good thing because I know a lot of people have been very angry about Google and using all their AI to run the ads because it's costing a lot more for a lot of their clients than it used to when they did it. And one of the big complaints I know was they did not have negative words. So Google changed it. And now I don't know where the state is today. I think they added back in more narrow matching, but originally they changed it all to broad match, which means like if the two words match 5 million things and only 50 of those apply to you, you still get the 5 million things. So now they'll be able to put in the negative keywords to make sure they don't show ads on that. So that's a good thing. I think people will be really happy about that. So that's a good note to end on. We did get through everything.
We did. We're only about 15 minutes over, so that's not too
Yeah.
bad. We were
Give
away
it.
for 2 weeks.
And also we had Google Antitrust, WordPress kerfuffle, so yeah. So I think we did good.
Friends, on behalf of Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger and from Digital Always Media. It's been a crazy week, a very, very emotional and difficult week for me. So again, if we felt a little bit disjointed, so sorry, but we will be back again this same time next week, more or less, depending on when you download our podcast, of course. Thank you so much for listening. Hugest love. Thanks to Wix Studio and to Audience Key. Thanks to Darren and Brandy in the office and Brasco and Ricky in the studio. And biggest love and best wishes to everybody in the path of Hurricane Milton. Our thoughts are going out to you.
Bye, everybody.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.